Grow Great, the podcast, episode 4052. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Grow Great, the podcast. Magic screen. This is how your mind should work to help you find success. It's episode 4052. A few podcasts ago, on another show I produced, I commented that I felt like I needed to hold my brain upside down, like an Etch-a-Sketch. You too young to remember Etch-a-Sketches? They still make them, don't they? You know, after you create something, got the two little knobs, and you're twisting, and you're tweaking, and you're making something, and usually, if you're like me, the something that you created was not that great, and you want to create something completely different. No problem. Easy peasy. Grab your Etch-a-Sketch, hold it upside down, shake it a little bit. Magic. The magic screen is now wiped clean. And now you've got a completely brand new, clean canvas to create whatever you would like. 6 years ago or so, I started driving my attention very deeply into, well, my own head. Sounds weird. Dangerous. It's a dangerous place to go. Since I was a teen, I had read books about self-image, inner conflict, cognitive dissonance, and other things like that, because I was very interested in human behavior. Mostly, when I was a teen, I was interested in my own human behavior. But I was always very interested in psychology and the way people behave. Most recently, my investigation was sparked by, well, it is sparked, and it has been sparked for probably 20 years now, by all the linearity that I see online. It's a great thing that the internet has done for a person like me who knew life before the internet. The study of people, it was just different. And it's frankly, it's a lot easier now because, well, the sample size is so stinking large with the internet. It's more difficult now because of all the pretending that goes on. People acting and people saying how they have structured their lives, how they've outlined their ambitions, and dream achievement is a very large topic online. You know, achieving your dreams, finding your passion. And it seemed like lots of people had figured out something that I was rather confident could not be figured out. Now, I'm a contrarian, no doubt. And my objective was to prove that we're subject to buying into lies. Okay, maybe at worst they're lies. Maybe in the middle ground they are misconceptions, and maybe at the far end where we might say, well, at best, it's delusional ignorance. But it still is mostly about us. I mean, these are our lies. These are our misconceptions. These are our delusional ignorances. Back in the 70s, I remember reading about how we create a story in our mind. I don't remember who I first heard talk about that, but there's nothing new about that, right? That craft your story. I mean, we hear story related to our mind all the time. And instantly it resonated with me, but it did make me wonder, is that true? Is that right? Is that correct? When I was in junior high, I was given a school project, and the project was go find some adult who's doing for a living what you hope to do and interview them. I wanted to be a cartoonist. Now, I wasn't in Los Angeles. I wasn't in New York City. I didn't know any cartoonist who lived in my town. In fact, truth be told, I didn't know where the famous cartoonists lived. I mean, for all I knew, they lived in Cartoon Town, There was no internet, and so we had to find a local person doing what we wanted to do. Turns out, local newspaper, they had an on-staff cartoonist, and he mostly did political cartoons, and he did some advertising illustrations as well. So I call him up, and I ask him if I could interview him, and of course, he graciously agreed. I mean, here's a school kid calling you up, and my mother took me to see the guy. And he was very nice. He was very cordial, very gracious, and told me lots of stories. And the one that stood out to me is he told me particularly of the story of going to art school. And he claimed that he had gone to art school with Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts. And I remember very vividly the man looking at me and saying, you know, he wasn't the best artist. And we all kind of made fun of this Peanuts character that he was drawing at the time. But he understood people. Well, I went home and I laid in bed that night, and I remember thinking, I really don't know anybody doing what I want to do. I mean, here I just come off of a conversation, a face-to-face conversation with somebody who was cartooning professionally, but I didn't want to draw advertising illustrations, and I certainly didn't want to do political stuff. My reality in my head was that I didn't live where a person had to live in order to succeed at cartooning or writing. That was another goal I had as a youth. Perspective in my head trashed me, and I knew as a junior high student, I knew how powerful that was, and I knew how damaging it, well, probably didn't fully know how damaging it could be or how limiting it could be to craft some story in your head that might not be true. Turns out it wasn't true, but it was a story that I was telling myself. And so as a result, I guess I could kind of argue, yeah, it kind of was true because I bought it because I'm the one that wrote it. I'm the one that crafted this story. It was my story and I've never forgotten it. Now, fast forward a number of decades, and here I am. And over the years, I have learned that our story is mostly, it's like the movie The Matrix. It's perception. It's our perception, but it's perception. So enter the age of the data freak. And boy, if the internet has done anything, it has absolutely made us data freaks. Metrics, KPIs, analytics, measurements. I mean, here I am in the medium of podcasting, and you're not going to get two podcasters together, not for very long. And somebody's going to pipe up and, you know, what do your downloads look like? You know, how big's your community? Blah, 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 blah. Hard evidence. Hard evidence means truthful evidence, not fake evidence. I mean, lying with stats, that's an ancient art. People pay attention to the wrong things, and sometimes they connect dots that they're not connected. And I'm a dot connector, so I'm going to tell you, I can see it. We're relying more and more on data and less on common sense. Stupidity is ruling our lives because we're not thinking clearly. We need to turn our minds upside down. Put the screen toward the floor and shake and just clear it all out. Reboot. Need to reboot. Sometimes data is useless because as people, we're not computers. Now, people will often say, well, the mind is the world's biggest and best computer. I'm not sure about that. I mean, our minds are our minds. And we don't always, as people, behave predictably. We don't always behave logically. Data in, and here's the data out. We don't behave that way. Very few of us ever behave that way. Sometimes, as people, we're predictable, and other times, we're completely unpredictable. Because, well, sometimes we get scared for no reason. We analyze, we overanalyze, and we dissect, and then we put it under the microscope, and we dissect it some more. We evaluate, and then we spend time reviewing our evaluations, and we turn an idea over, and we turn it over some more, and we turn it over 8 ways to Sunday, and then we go back and we do it all over again. For what? I can tell you what for. We're looking for magic. That's what. We're looking for an easier path that does not exist. We're in the matrix. We are looking to replicate somebody's success that if we had it, man, wouldn't it just be great? No, it wouldn't be great because it wouldn't be what we wanted to begin with because we're not them. But we spend hours and hours in social media. We spend hours and hours on YouTube. We spend hours and hours reading books by supposed gurus. We think the data will show us the way because we think the path to success is dynamic. Because we're now living in an era dominated by the internet, we think new tactics and new strategies, those are in play. Strategies that, well, we don't understand. We haven't yet learned these things, and we need to learn these things. And so we're looking for people to teach us. We're looking for someone to show us the way. Tell us how to do this, Obi-Wan Kenobi. and some we chase every Pied Piper who comes along claiming to know what we feel we don't know. Lots of chasing, lots and lots and lots and lots of chasing. Not much catching, but a whole lot of chasing. And we're chasing success, mostly. And we're catching mostly frustration. We're catching mostly anxiety. We're catching mostly an increase in our fear because success is not a data point. It's a process. Ask anybody or look at your own life and whatever, find something in your life where you say, I'm a success in that. Now, can you point me to a specific point where you went from failure to success? No, you didn't. You can't. Because it's not how success works. It's a process. It's hard work. It's time consuming. And it always has been, but there are some rare exceptions. Yep, there are freakish oddities of people who just caught lightning in a bottle. I mean, right before I hit the record button on one of the DirecTV channels was a biography of Robin Williams. And anytime there's a biography of somebody that was an interesting character to me, I'm compelled to watch it. And there wasn't much new in this biography. I'd seen other biographies like this before. This one was done in 2016. And here was a guy that, by all accounts, an overnight success, but, you know, they go back and, well, he did this for this many years and he went here for so many years and he played these clubs for so many years. It wasn't an overnight success. I'm going to suggest that you visit her website because I really love her stuff. Her name is Sylvia Duckworth. So if you go to growgreat.com, just find episode 4052. I'm putting a link to this and I'm including in the notes for this episode an illustration that she did that I just think is brilliant. You've seen other illustrations like this, but I especially like her rendition of this. And she calls it's the iceberg illusion. And I'm going to put a link to her website and I'm going to put a link to her Twitter as well. And would encourage you to check her out and follow her stuff. She did a terrific graphic depicting what success looks like. And so at the top part, above the water level, we see success, right? I mean, we see the iceberg. Success is an iceberg. And we just see the success. And then down below the waterline, she's got all these things listed. Persistence, failure, sacrifice, disappointment, good habits, hard work, dedication. Above the waterline, she has it labeled what people see. And below the waterline, she has labeled what people don't see. And it's completely correct. And we know it's correct. The iceberg illusion is real. The height of our success might be disproportionately lower than the depth of our hidden efforts, or maybe higher, maybe equal. That's the impossible part to predict. That's the impossible part to fully control. It's all that work below the waterline, though, that you can control. And that's where the magic happens. The magic doesn't happen above the waterline. All the magic is happening below the surface. I've long been puzzled by people who they don't want to show that below the waterline stuff until they've broken the surface of success. Is it interesting to you like it is to me? Think of all the stories of redemption that you hear. I forget whether they're true or not. Let's not even debate that. Where people who are successful will now go back in time and tell you how awful things were, how they lived in their car for 2 years, or how they incurred seven figures of credit card debt, or how they gained 125 pounds before they got fit. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, why not share that stuff, and especially in this day and age? I get it in the pre-internet age, but in this day and age, why not share that stuff in real time? Well, because until you've succeeded, are you going to feel comfortable sharing it? Why not? What do you care about what other people think? What do you care about how other people view you? Well, I can tell you that that's the rub right there. This is just some of why we need to clear this screen of our mind. Now, this has business applications, so hang with me. Come on, we're early into this thing. We're only 16 and a half minutes in. Come on, there's business application, and you know there is. Our mind can get it wrong. And you do know, don't you, that you are the biggest hurdle to your success. The most famous pogo cartoon, I'm going to include this in the show notes too, is a cartoon where the caption simply says, "We have met the enemy and he is us." It was done in 1971. Well, it resonated with everybody, and it still resonates with everybody because deep down we know that's true. We think things, we believe things, they drive us or they prevent us. Mostly it's us. It's us. It's our brains. It's our mind creating these realities that, well, they're not real, but we make them real. Go ahead, plan for success, craft your strategy, figure your tactics, learn new tactics, get new tools, or not. I'm urging not. I'm clearly in the camp of not. Instead, it's one step at a time. It's the next step. And then it's adjust. And then it's okay, now another step. And then it's more adjustments. And it's keep doing that until you sense some traction or you sense some loss of traction. And then you know what it is? It's do more of what works and do less of what doesn't work. It's not terribly complicated. With a screen that's filled with clutter, though, you just can't clearly see or know what's what. And that's why you need to shake that screen and clear it. Working on yourself is going to be the hardest work you ever do. And it doesn't matter who you are. It's always going to be the hardest work, but it's always going to be the most worthwhile work. And there's something that prevents us from doing it. And we embrace this, by the way. We rather embrace and enjoy this prevention of doing this hard work. It's called busyness. Busyness. I mean, some of us enjoy remaining distracted because that way we can avoid the work. And other people con themselves into thinking, that's not it at all. It's not me. It's not my thoughts. I'm not the problem at all. It's circumstance. It's environment. It's my job. It's my spouse. It's my parents. That's it. Man alive, if my parents had done a better job. It's something. It's somebody. It's some place. It's some event. It's something that happened to me. But it's not me. Well, stop it. It's madness, which is why I'm talking about it. Because my renewed focus is on that third leg of the trifecta of business building. I talk about it all the time. It's getting new customers, serving customers better, and not going crazy in the process. That's the third leg. That not going crazy in the process is where my focus is more and more. And I'm pushing more and more attention on that because, well, quite frankly, because the need is so enormous. I see it in the faces of business owners. I see it in the faces of business leaders. I hear it in their voice, the loneliness, the isolation, the worry. And listen, this is not a pessimistic view. It's honest. It's reality. It's much of what drives us crazy is all that stuff going on in our head. It's our thinking. And so what we all always hear, don't overthink it. Well, here's what they mean. Act, you know, don't waller around. Don't waller it around in your head. But that's not always the culprit. to our craziness. That's not always the culprit to our difficulty. Sometimes it's that our thinking is corrupted by some script that we wrote years ago or one that we're writing right now. We've developed some story in our head and it's driving our actions. The problem is the story isn't accurate. In fact, I would go further and tell you the problem is there is no story. The story's a fabrication. It's not always crafted because we're pursuing success either. It sometimes is crafted because we don't want to lose success. We've already got it. We just want to play it safe. Now, I can illustrate it. You knew I could. So a business owner is operating a successful company. He purchased the company about 15 years ago. It was already a successful company, but he's been able to double it. So it's even more successful now. And for the past 5 years or so, his personal income has annually eclipsed $900,000. Dude's doing well. A few years in that five-year period, it even crossed over the magic million-dollar threshold. So he's doing very well. He has settled into a lifestyle that, well, it just suits him. It suits his family perfectly, right? He's got the lake house. He's got the modern contemporary upscale home in town, fully furnished with all the nicer things, including this state-of-the-art kitchen that any nice restaurant chef would envy, a stable of really nice sports cars and SUVs. The vacations, they're never domestic. They're always abroad, you know, does that about three times a year. Life's good. Life's real good. But he's going crazy, and he's going crazy because he may not admit it, but he's scared. The political climate terrifies him. The economy mortifies. It doesn't matter who the candidate is, by the way. Doesn't matter if his candidate is in power or not. He's mortified about the economy going south, and he's a natural autocrat. And that focuses to just driving to new heights or new lows, depending on how you want to look at it, to just micromanage the snot out of everything and everybody. The employees, they're stifled, choked to death, just literally being choked to death by an owner who's just never satisfied. Now, he thinks he's hard charging. That's what he tells people, that he's just hard charging and, you know, we just need to do better, need to do better. We always need to do better. And he'll always lament that the employees, they just don't understand. They don't understand. They don't get it. Can you see his story? Can you see this thing that he's written in his head? Well, sure. I think a lot of us can see it when it's not us. And within half a day of hanging around with this guy to just survey things and see him in his natural habitat, I'm able to see dollars hitting the floor that it's clear he doesn't see. I mean, the cracks are fairly abundant. Now, solid sales growth. There's solid sales growth. And it seems to me that that is one of the things preventing these problems from even being visible, much less burdensome. And the story that he's written, along with the one that he's now writing, they're calling his attention to just a laundry list of things that drive him crazy. I mean, this is one of the guys that if you ask him, what's driving you crazy? You will just brace yourself and sit back and relax because you're going to get an earful for a very long time. A lot of things are driving him crazy. And these are things that he will admit they've always driven him crazy. Well, it provokes me to ask, well, why haven't you solved them already? Well, okay, sit back and relax some more, because now he's going to launch into about a 30-minute tirade particularly about the employees. And especially about various managers that he's got and some that he still has, you know, it's them. It's like all of his great plans in life, they could just be achieved if he weren't surrounded by these idiots. he has a view that makes it all appear the way he sees it. And I clearly am smart enough, and you know this by now, I'm wise enough to know better than to try to persuade him that he's wrong. No, that's not happening. Life has taught me the futility of that. So mostly I do what I do. I sit back and I ask questions, and I'm trying to provoke, well, I'm trying to learn some things for sure, and I'm trying to provoke some insights on his part too. And I try to focus attention on a couple of areas where I can see room for big improvement, things that I know will generate considerable profit improvements. And these are operational things. These are the kinds of things that leap out to a guy like me because I'm a lifelong operator. Well, he doesn't quickly embrace the ideas, and that's no shock. And he starts arguing why they'll just be too hard to implement. It'll be too hard to make these changes, and it'll be nearly impossible to maintain them. Well, I don't much care about the degree of difficulty because, you know, this isn't a diving competition. This isn't a gymnastics routine. This is business. I mean, nobody's going to hold up a scorecard because the degree of difficulty was just too hard. There's money at stake. Real money, real green dollars. So over time, I decided I'm going to make this more personal. And he shared his income details with me. And so I craft this spreadsheet and I show him what doing this hard work, what it'll mean to him personally. It's over 600 grand a year. And he is staring at a 60 to 70% increase in his already sizable income and an outline of how the hard work can be accomplished. I'm not just skywriting here. It's not pie in the sky, wouldn't it be great if kind of stuff. I mean, this is a one-page document of how to fix some costly problems. Well, I'm really just focused on one big one. And it's a problem that he's been fighting. Well, that's an overstatement. I don't know that he's been fighting it much. It's vexed him forever. Coupled with a spreadsheet of how the numbers will stack up after a year. Okay, you want to talk about hard data? You want to talk about measurement? Well, here it is. Evidently, too hard because he's not buying it. He's not embracing it at all. And I'm puzzled. I'm just really, really puzzled. Now, I'm not puzzled by the disbelief. I've seen this before. I'm really just more puzzled by the sheer lack of optimism to even give it a chance, to even try it. And we talk about it, and we talk about it some more. And he's offering a litany of reasons why it won't work. And so I change tactics, right? I'm shifting gears now. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to keep going down a dead end road. And I say, well, let's assume that it doesn't work at all. Okay. Let's just assume it's a colossal failure. It doesn't work at all. What's the risk? No, that doesn't work either. Well, you know, guys got to try. Welcome to the world of being stuck. Now, the numbers shocked me. And they shocked me that they didn't shock him. And so I challenged and I pushed, not too hard at first, harder a little bit later. Paralyzed by fear. Fear of changing things, fear of conquering problems that might create new problems, less familiar problems, fear of finding maybe new heights of financial success. I don't know. I mean, come on, he's human. Join the rest of us. We're all scared. We're all scared of something. I'm real leery of that guy that says, I ain't afraid of nothing. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You're afraid of admitting that you're afraid. That's what you're afraid of. It's less about conquering fear, and maybe it's more about being able to shove it out of the way long enough to grow and improve. That's at least how I was approaching it. Okay, well, I failed. I failed to help him because he didn't want to shove the fear aside, not even long enough to see if it might work out. The devil you know is often more comfortable than the one you don't. Okay, I get it. And do I feel bad? You're not going to sell people that don't want to be sold. You're not going to sell to somebody that doesn't want to buy. You're not going to help people that don't want to be helped. But this is mental health. This is mental fitness of a business mind. It's the necessity to see business challenges and opportunities as they really are. It's not letting the story in your head force you to see boogeymen in the shadows, boogeymen who don't even exist, but we see them. We know they're there. And our story only fits if we see them. Our story only makes sense if they are there. Remove the boogeymen and, well, our story is no longer our story. Now it's a different story. Let me tell you what I know to be true. It's not a story at all. It's not a story at all. It's an interpretation. It's our mind ascribing some meaning to something or somebody, a meaning that isn't necessarily true except in our mind, and that makes it completely true for us. You know the quote from Mr. Henry Ford, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Mr. Ford was making, granted, it was a bold statement, to let other people know that one of the primary keys to you getting what you want is the belief that you can do it, that you can have it. That is hard for some people. It's likely difficult to some degree for almost all of us. Maybe for you, it's just in some narrow specific area. That seemed to be the case for this business owner. He was ridiculously confident, or so it would seem, in nearly every area of life. Even joking about how he often felt like, you know, he was the smartest guy in the room. But I don't think it was really much of a joke. I think he meant it. And so fear was blinding him to what was possible, though. He couldn't see it. Didn't think it was possible. Convinced it wasn't possible. Or that it was just going to be too hard. And that even if he could do it, it wouldn't stick. Wouldn't be able to be maintained. And so he never tried. Head trash, real cost, not just dollars, but in the pain of a persisting problem, the pain of fighting something almost daily for years and years and years, just because we're convinced it's how it is. And that's how it's always going to be. So you just need to move on and you need to tackle something else, because this is, you know, systemic in my problem, in my industry, in my company. It's just never going to be any different. And so we live in ways to ensure we're right. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be wrong. So grab yourself, turn it upside down, and shake the magic screen of your mind. We make it harder. We make it harder than it has to be. Make no mistake, it is hard. And sometimes it's ridiculously hard. I'm not saying, and nobody should tell us, because if they do, they're liars, that it's easy. It's not easy. But we do make it harder than it has to be. Enter the power of a group. Now, sad to say, I was not able to connect this business owner with other voices that might be able to nudge him out of his stuck space. But I've done it in other circumstances with different people. Your parents knew that it was true. If you had friends who were troublemakers, you're likely going to be in trouble. Well, it's true of CEOs and it's true of business owners too. There's a reason why peers are important. We'll listen to them. We will be influenced by them. We will care more about their opinions and their viewpoints. You go put a group of high school kids in a group together, they will influence each other more than any teacher or any adult. Put a group of business owners in a group, guess what? That same magic happens. And the magic happens largely in the mind of those in the group. Collectively and individually, minds change. They grow and they expand. And we realize that how we see things isn't, well, you know, it's not necessarily how other people are seeing it. I'm seeing it this way and they're not seeing it that way. And at the very first, we might be amazed. We might be amazed that people can look at the same thing we're looking at and they don't see what we see. But then we might be open to understand the reality that we have created. It's not a reality at all. It's just our viewpoint. And it's a viewpoint that we haven't been able to hurdle until we're exposed to other viewpoints. What's holding you back? I don't know you. I don't know your business. I don't know where you're even located, but I know what the answer to the problem is. I know what's holding you back, and you do too. It's the same thing that holds me back. It's you. It's us. You've got this narrative in your brain that you've created. You think, no, better yet, you're even convinced that it's serving you well, but until you can gain some other perspectives, some viewpoints that are different than those that you currently held, and maybe ones that you've held for a long, long time, you're stuck with the business problems that you currently have. you're limited with the opportunities that you currently see. You can't see it any other way. What about the things you don't see? What about the opportunities that might be there in plain sight to other people, but you can't see them? Like adding 60 to 70% more to your personal income. Now listen, don't sweat it. Don't sweat. You're never going to miss it anyway because you can't see it, right? How are you going to miss it? You don't believe in it anyway, so it's not real. Hey, it's the Matrix. We're all just living in this fictitious land of make-believe. It's in your head. Visit the website, growgreat.com. If you were a small business owner, I don't know, pick a number, doing $3 to $30 million a year, click that button up there, that tab in the navigation that says Bula Network Owners Alliance. It's a one-off. I am forming a small group, an intimate group of U.S. business owners in that revenue range. No, they're not all going to be. There's not going to be that big of a spread between them, but I'm talking to business owners that are doing between $3 and $30 million to try to assemble the most powerful group that I can, a group that's going to get together virtually online, going to start having some serious enrollment interviews this week and get this group up and running. Why? Because this stuff is really, really important. These are real dollars. These are real problems. These are real opportunities for you as a business owner, and it may be the solution you need. It may not be, but if it is, I'd like to hear from you. growgreat.com. And there it is. Episode 4052. I'm glad you were here. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell a friend about it. Connect with me any way that you choose to. All the social media icons are over there at the website. Grow Great. My name is Randy Cantrell from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.